There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away, wash all my sins away, wash all my sins away. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power, till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more, be saved to sin no more, be saved to sin no more, till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Then again a nobler, sweeter song I'll sing thy power to save. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, lies silent in the grave, lies silent in the grave. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, hallelujah. I think I heard more lisping, stammering tongues there than I'm used to, but praise the Lord anyway. Let's open our Bibles to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. This week I've got four outlines and you got one of them. Again, if you picked up one of those flyers or handouts for our Sunday service again, there is again a little bit of last week's message. In fact, 300 words of last week's message are on the inside of that, and I'll preach that again in less than 300 words. And then there's an outline of where we're going for the next 2 weeks, all the way through the third portion. It says the literary structure of the book, but it's actually the literary structure of the third part of the book. The first part, again, as we looked at last week, was write the things that thou hast seen, write the things that are. And the part that we're looking at from now on, is from chapter 4 on, is to write the things that shall be. And so again, here we're looking into the future. This is prophetic in that sense. But remember, the theme of the book of Revelation is still the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. when a lot of denominations thought they'd just take Revelations and cast it out. I want you to think about what that meant. That means, again, that they said, well, we don't think this is supposed to be in the Bible. That is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And they thought it shouldn't be in the Bible. I think that's an abomination against the Lord Jesus Christ. Even to consider that this book is too hard for the common person to understand. It's dangerous to say that any of God's words are too hard for man to understand. If you've got your eyes open, then you can understand this. And notice a special blessing assigned to this book, because it is indeed a revelation of Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at the Bible prophecy portion of this now as we again continue in our hunt for the last October Bible Prophecy Conference. It's amazing to me that this is our 18th annual again. We've been doing this ever since I got here way back in 1998. And so we appreciate again that we can dig into God's Word and look at all the Bible talks about as far as what's coming up. And today we want to pick up that theme beginning in Revelation chapter 4. If you have that in your Bible, let's stand again for the reading of God's Word. And what a tremendous portion here. I'd almost fain but read the whole thing. Let me at least go ahead and read the first section, then we'll look at it in more detail. Looking at a change here, a transition from the things which are. Now we're going to start looking at a new section of the book, and watch the transition that we make in this chapter to the things that shall be hereafter. Revelation chapter 4, you follow along in your Bible as I would read from God's holy writ. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And around about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and those that were, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne there were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like the flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Father, praise you for your word. We stand in awe of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And as we absorb just a little bit more of it today from your scriptures here, I pray again that you'd set our hearts on fire with a zeal for you, as we recognize that we are indeed in the last of the last days, and as we see events changing even in our own country, Father, to fulfill again the things that you said of your son's return, as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, as it was before the flood. We see those events unfolding, and our heart yearns again, Father, for your son, our Savior, and his coming. And I pray again that you'd again just fill our hearts with a zeal for you in these days. Thank you again for your word. Pray a special blessing on it this morning. Thank you for answered prayer that we've seen this week. And Father, thank you for the prayers that have already been whispered to you from this service. see our heart, hear our prayer, accept our worship in this hour. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray it. Amen, amen. You may be seated. And what an exciting portion of Scripture to begin. Again, this look at the things that shall come. And as we look at that again, I want to put an emphasis on the fact one more time that this beginning of the things that shall come is the proper beginning of the third portion of this book. It is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me go ahead and say that there's nothing new in this chapter. Every phrase, every line, if you got a King James Bible, every verse again has been already fed to us in the Old Testament. Isaiah spoke it. Ezekiel spoke it. The faces of the beasts, as they're called here, we've already seen them. We've examined them in the book of Ezekiel. And so everything in this is, again, a tying together of the Lord Jesus Christ and what we do know about Him. Notice again, even that holy, holy, holy clause that's being repeated is not to God the Father. It is to the one that will come, and the one that will come is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so everything in this chapter is about the Lamb, and worthy is the Lamb. A couple things I just need to point out because they just ring in my mind right now. And notice again that we've seen, and we looked at this last week, that was a rapture. When there's a trumpet sound that says, come up hither, I want you to know that that's what saints are looking for. And so again, when we read in 1 Thessalonians, when we read in chapter 4, when we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed. Here's a picture of it right here. In 1 Thessalonians, where we're going to hear a trumpet that says, come up hither and meet me in the clouds. Here's a picture of it right here. And so again, we see first off the rapture. Before these things come, before the judge comes, before the judgment of this world, the saints are going to be caught out of this world. For it is not appointed unto you for the wrath of God. We are not going to see the wrath of God. If you're here and you're born again Christian, you'll not taste of the wrath of God that's portrayed here in these chapters to follow. The 7-year period of tribulation, we'll be watchers from it. From above, we will not be partakers of it here on this earth. All the preachers of prophecy, most of the preachers of prophecy, all the ones on the radio as near as I can tell, and the TV evangelists are talking about how to make it through the tribulation period and the things that's going to happen, and they're trying to figure out how God's going to do all this. I frankly don't care. Two reasons for that. Number one is, I'm not going to be here for that. And so I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm not looking for the little horn. I'm not looking for the great swelling words out of the false prophet. I am not looking for those things. And I'm looking for the return of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And our eyes ought to always be on Him and never be again on the Antichrist or the devil that puts him together. And so again, they're talking about all the how this is going to all happen. And they're scaring the dickens out of a lot of well-meaning Christians. But again, understand, we don't care because we're not going to be here. Secondly, we don't care because it is not for us to determine the hows. Just to believe that God's going to do it. And again, when we have people trying to figure out what the 10 nations are, we'll look at that tonight from Daniel chapter 7. When we have people trying to figure out how the little horn comes up and all these other things, the how is not a concern to us. Just to believe that God said it, and I believe it, and He'll handle it again. And so that's a great comfort for Christians in both of those areas. Number one, we're not to concern ourselves so much with how. Also, we're not to concern ourselves with preventing this. A lot of the TV evangelists I hear say, boy, you've got to do this real quickly or else. Listen, our job isn't to prevent the things to unfold. Our job is to preach the gospel to every creature. That's been our job all along, and it doesn't change. In fact, it should be all the more enhanced right now as we see these things approaching in our own nation. We ought to be preachers of the gospel to every nation. Look down quickly again, a couple of these things here. So that's the rapture. I wanted to mention that. Notice also the throne. Verse 3, and he that sat was to look upon like jasper and sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about. What do you think about when you say a rainbow? No, don't even bring that up again. But I want you to understand, what is the meaning of the rainbow? Why is a rainbow important? Not in our sick, twisted society today, who tries to dismantle everything that God says and make a mockery of it. And so that's why sodomites carry a rainbow around in our society. And that's why this summer, the White House was decorated up, not in red, white, and blue, but in the colors of the rainbow for the sodomite celebration. Listen, we're in trouble in this country, but what does this rainbow symbolize?
God's promise.
What was the promise?
No more.
He's not going to judge the earth by a flood anymore. And so there's a judgment right here. Mm-hmm. And notice again, that rainbow is a picture, a promise of God that there's not going to be another world flood that judges the earth. And so when we see a rainstorm come, there's a sunshine that shines in, and we can see a rainbow. And we've seen some tremendous ones this past fall watching around. And so the rainbow is a picture that God's not going to judge the earth with a great flood. But here it is on the throne, because God is going to judge the earth. And this is the throne where that judgment begins. Look at the next part. And round about the throne were 24 seats. I think that's 24. There's 12 apostles. And so I want you to surmise with me for a little bit. What are the other 12 representative of? 12, again, is a number that represents the number of apostles. It represents the Christians, the saints, again. And the apostles, again, on their foundation. If you remember, in the great city that's going to come, there's 12 foundations representative of the 12 apostles. And so I could account for 12 of them. You want to account for the other 12? Tribes of Israel, okay? It's most obviously, and although it stumps a lot of Bible scholars, where did this 24 come from? And they tried, it's obvious again that during this judgment, there's going to be watching 12 apostles that again established Christianity, established the preaching of the gospel, and there's also going to be the 12 tribes of Israel that brought the Messiah into the world. And notice that they're going to be sitting on thrones. They're going to again have crowns of gold, and they're going to be part of this judgment that's going on for the world. Does that make sense? The tribes that brought the Messiah into this world are going to judge now how the world handled the Messiah. The apostles that preached the gospel are going to be part of the judgment of those, again, who would reject the Messiah and the gospel that they preached. And so, don't surprise you, and I know, again, a lot of the Calvinists say, who are the 24? See, we don't know. And they try to, again, be a replacement for the tribes of Israel with that little surmise. And so, again, it's obvious, again, what they refer to. One more thing I want to get here. Notice, again, that there were 7 lamps of fire burning. See that in the bottom of verse 5. Before the throne. And then it says this. Which are the 7 spirits of God. Is that what your Bible says? Hold your place there and then turn back a couple chapters to chapter 1. And notice again that in his introduction in verse 4, I believe it is. John, to the 7 churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the 7 spirits which are before his throne. Look over in chapter 5 and look with me at verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. We should pay attention to what those 7 spirits of God. Again, 7 is a number of completeness. The 7 eyes, the 7 burning fiery lamps, the 7 spirits of God are the fact that he sees you. Anybody know how to say that in Hebrew? The Lord seeth me. Oh, we failed our first Hebrew lesson. We'll have to dig that one out again. Remember at the well? The high roy, exactly. The Lord seeth. And here's a picture of that in English with the seven spirits of God are the seven eyes of God. In Isaiah chapter 11, those seven spirits of God are named and they are in the judge that's coming. And they should also be inside of you if you're a Christian. And so seven spirits are listed out there in Isaiah chapter 11. And so that's another whole message I wish I had time to preach at. We'll just hit it on the way by. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. I want you to see here that this is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one. In Isaiah chapter 6, we find again that God appears, and there is a seraphim crying, "Holy, holy, holy," continually. And there again we see Isaiah at the throne. And so notice here again we are at the throne, and now the Lord Jesus Christ is sitting on the throne, and He is ascribed holiness. Look at verse 11. And everyone here ought to memorize verse 11, Revelation 4:11. It is the purpose of life. It is the purpose of the Scriptures. It is the purpose for your life. It's why you're here. It's why this nation is here. It's why this world is here. It's why the deer we're about to hunt. I throw that in. It's why they are here again. And look what it says. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things. Let me say that again for the United States of America to hear. Thou hast created all things. Bear with me, let me say that about six more times again. God is our Creator. He created all things. If you read through Isaiah, you'll find over and over he mentions the fact that I am the Creator of the mountains and the sea and the world. I am the Creator of the stars of heaven. We launch things out into space to find the origins of life. God says, I am the Creator of all. And here it is in the very purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Power, Thou hast created all things. And then look at this last little phrase. For Thy pleasure they are and were created. For God's pleasure. And that brings us pleasure. But listen, it's for God's pleasure. Good verse right there. And so we find here the purpose. And notice again the magnification of the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 5. And I saw on the right hand of Him that sat on the throne a book written within the, and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. If you've got a good Oxford Press, Scofield Bible, you'll notice again that there's seven bands down the back of that. Okay, so check your Bibles, check for seven bands, see if it's by Oxford Press. Some of the other presses do that, but I know Oxford did that. Every time they printed a Bible, they put seven bands down the back of that. And so again, understand that these bands, again, these are seals. The book is sealed seven times. Praise the Lord. This book is not sealed. Okay? This book is not allegorical. This book, you don't need some priest to tell you what it means. This book is not sealed. This book is open. But again, there is a book here that is sealed with seven seals. And we're going to look at the importance of that as we look at those seven seals being opened. It is a book of judgment. It is a book of the wrath of God that's going to pour out on this earth. It is not a pleasant thing. It is, again, the judgment of this world. It is a horrid thing. We read in Matthew 24 that there's going to be a tribulation in this world like it has never seen before. And for those who say, well, we're in the tribulation period now, they're defying the words of Christ right there. We are going to see a tribulation period like this world has never seen Listen, it begins with this book right here. And there's only one that's worthy. John here says, who's worthy to open the book? Look who is worthy. Verse 5. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Praise the Lord, you know who that is.
Amen.
The root of David. Do you know who that root is and branch? Hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. The Lamb and the Lion shall lay down together. And here the Lamb and the Lion are united in one. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Lion, but he is the Lamb. And notice, who is it that judges this earth? And why is it that he is worthy? Because he was a lamb, slain, as it were, from the foundation of the world. Verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou hast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Verse 12. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And so we see again, this is an exaltation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he is the only one that's worthy. I mentioned this last week, I think, and I haven't really assimilated all this in my head yet, but in the Gospel of John in chapter 5, it says this, that because he is the Son of God, he is worthy to quicken, to make alive that which is dead.
Yeah.
But because he is the Son of Man, he is worthy to judge man. And so here's the judge, and he is the only one that's worthy to open a book of judgment upon this earth. And so he begins the opening of the book. The book of Revelation, again, as we see the structure, it's in the handout that I gave out there, includes seven seals on a book. We see the seals opening, and I don't want you to be confused at all about the white horse that's under the first seal. The white horse comes, and he comes bringing victory. He comes conquering. He comes with a bow, but no arrows, curious. And so he comes again as a great conqueror, a great victor in this world. And there will be a one world government, and there will be one leader again in this world. And here he is, and he is not the Christ. The Christ in Revelation chapter 19 comes riding on a white horse, but it's not this white horse. And so again, understand that first we find the seals being opened, the preparation of this world for the coming judgment. And we find the seven seals being opened. The first one is a white horse comes conquering. The second is a red horse comes with a great sword and begins defeating in war. Then comes a black horse in the third seal. And he has a pair of balances in his hand. Why a pair? Because again, there's different rules again for those that are believers in Christ and those that don't follow and take the mark of the beast, and those that don't follow the beast and the world religions of this world. And so we can see those things being set up already with a different balances in his hand, and he comes as the black horse and then finally the pale horse, and we find that there's great destruction and great death. And hell follows, it says, the pale horse. The fifth seal are those slain for the word, and there are many. There are millions, again, slain for the gospel that they had and that they preached. And then the sixth seal, again, here is the sun becoming black. as sackcloth of hair in verse 12, and the moon becoming as blood. And so we see the seals. These are all preparatory to the opening of the book. The book isn't opened yet. The seals represent the preparations that are in this earth, and they again mark the beginning of this tribulation period. And we see for a 3.5 year period in the first half, things are going to look okay. We got a world government, there's world peace, but it don't last long. And so again, those are some of the things a lot of people like to talk about. How is this going to work and who's going to be involved? I don't much care as long as we understand the big picture. That it is a preparation for the wrath of God that's going to pour out on this earth. And it is a seal that must be opened. And so we see the martyrs. We see again the darkness in the beginning and the sun. It's funny, man's all concerned about global warming, not global darkness again. We can get global warming if a flare would ignite off of our sun again and come down here and cook every transformer in America. We was in Haiti and a transformer blew up and it took them 3 months to get it replaced. Could you imagine every transformer in the United States being gone in a solar flare? Well, that's another message. We won't go there right now. But listen, there's things that could happen right now during our lifetime that would bring anarchy into America. And so notice here again, we see that there's coming again this judgment and the seals, the preparations are being made. Chapter 7 is what Scofield calls a parenthetical. And in your outline, you notice again, I called them parentheticals. It's a parenthesis. It's a stop. There's such an intensity given in this story that he stops and takes a pause and looks at different details. And so chapter 7 deals with the 144,000. For us, I wanted to affirm the fact that we are not in the church age at this point. There's not, again, the witnesses of the church. You and I are the witnesses for this age. But there is coming an age when it's given back to the nation of Israel. And there's 144,000, 12,000 from every tribe. And God knows who they are. There's no 10 lost tribes for God. And God installs 144,000 witnesses during this horrible tribulation period. And so we find again that is in chapter 7. Chapter 8 resumes the seal. And let's look at the 8th seal or 7th seal that is opened in the Revelation chapter 8. And when we had opened the 7th seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of an half an hour. We've had a moment of silence before in our country for different events. And a moment of silence is 1 minute. This is 30 minutes. This is half an hour of silence. And you can't imagine the somberness of that. And the importance of that, because the next thing that happens is 7 trumpets. You know anyone's got a voice that sounds like a trumpet? Have we heard of that before? Have we heard of the sounding of the trumpet for the gathering of the saints? Have we heard of the Feast of Trumpets? Have we understood that in 1 Thessalonians 5 there's going to be a sound of a trumpet and we're going to be called out of here, and that trumpet is the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ? Here's 7 warnings. We saw 7 seals that were open. Now we see 7 trumpets. And the 7 trumpets are the voice of Christ saying again, the judge is coming. And they are, if you read down through that whole list, they are a taste of the 7 vials of the wrath of God that's going to show up. Each one of them, again, is a little bit of a taste of that. We see the first trumpet sounds and there's hail and fire and blood. The second trumpet sounds and 1/3 of the sea is turned to blood. The third trumpet sounds and 1/3 of the rivers are turned to blood. Boy, when the vial comes, all of the sea is turned to blood. When the vial is dumped, of God's wrath is dumped, all of the rivers turn to blood. And so this is a taste of the things that come. It's a forewarning that there is a judge coming and there is judgment coming upon this earth. And they don't need any JWs to give a forewarning. God's got His trumpet, and He gives a warning that there is a judge coming. We see again the fourth is one-third of the sun is smitten. And it says, woe, woe, and woe, because there's three more trumpet sounds to come. The fifth is a pit of locusts in chapter 9 that's opened up. And the sixth is the Euphrates, and the four angels that are released again are loosed upon this old earth. And so we see the trumpets in chapter 9 are then suspended, because there's another parenthesis. And before that last trumpet sounds, we find again that there's a picture of a little book that's given. And again, the temple witnesses are emphasized, that they have a witness and they have a book. And so, just a tremendous picture, tremendous structure here of the book. I don't want you to miss that. And now we see again that the seven trumpets have sounded. There's so many things, as you can probably guess, that I'm skipping over in here, but I don't want to skip over two things that are given, one in chapter 11 and the other in chapter 12. In chapter 11, you can read about the witnesses. Let's do that in the first few verses of Revelation chapter 11. And there was given unto me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. If you figure out 42 months, it is 3.5 years. We have again a 7-year period of tribulation. It is divided exactly in half by a 3.5-year break point, exactly halfway through. And here we are at that halfway point in Revelation chapter 11 and 12. And don't miss it again. The trumpets have sounded. The seals have been opened, preparing for the wrath of God to be poured out on this world. The trumpets have sounded to give us warning that it's coming. Now again, we see this pause right here, where we find again that there's these two witnesses mentioned. Verse 3, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days. Anyone want to guess how long that is? That's also 3.5 years. The people who say this is all allegorical and there is no 7-year period, listen, they miss so much by denying God's words. And so notice here again that there is this 3.5-year period. It's called out by Daniel, it's called out by Christ, and it's called out here 3 times in the book of Revelation. These are the 2 olive trees and the 2 candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. That's an interesting insight. And there's a whole bunch of parallels that you and I should have to be witnesses. We are to the witnesses today, but here is coming 2 indestructible witnesses. You know, we're to be indestructible witnesses today. They might destroy this body, but they'll not destroy the witness. They burned so many at the stake, but you look at again, the more they burned at the stake, the more the witness flourished. The more the persecuted the church was, the more the witness flourished. And here are 2 physically indestructible witnesses. But you and I, as witnesses of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to save souls, are to be indestructible witnesses with our lives. That's what we're here for. Just a tremendous analogy and a tremendous study right out of what we looked at in Zechariah concerning these 2 witnesses. Verse 13, and the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the 10th part of the city fell, and the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted, and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the 3rd woe cometh quickly. The 7th angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdom of this world are become the kingdoms of the Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. That which we read there in Matthew about fleeing out of the city of Jerusalem fits right into this right here. Because this is a time when the world controlled Jerusalem, but now Satan is kicked out of heaven. And now the Christ is making his preparation to come, and the wrath is about to pour out on this world, which is terminated again in the great battle called the Battle of Armageddon. And so here at this point, we're at the exact break point of the 3.5 years. It's no coincidence that we're also at exactly the middle verse, the middle word of the revelation of Jesus Christ, if you got a King James Bible. And listen, when we look at that, it just causes me all the more to marvel. There's 404 verses. And look at verse 202, starting in verse 7. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed, is the middle verse, verse 8, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. This is the break point. This is exactly 3.5 years into the tribulation period. It's prophesied in Daniel. It's talked about in Christ, about the abomination of desolations that's set up in Jerusalem. And so here we are in the exact middle of your revelation of Jesus Christ, and we find again that the kingdoms are given to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember when Satan was on this earth, he took Christ to a high pinnacle and said, "I'll give you all the nations of the earth." Did he have authority to do that? Yes, he did. Satan is the prince in the power of the air. He is in control of this earth. And he has presence in heaven, the Bible says. Check out Job. And so he, again, has a presence in heaven to go, and he accuses you for the things that you did this week. And says, "Have you seen that saint down there? Did you see what they did?" And the Lord Jesus Christ is my advocate between Satan and the Father. And I cannot be accused of sin because Jesus Christ paid it all. And so here, notice again that Satan no longer has a place in heaven. Up to this point, he does. But now he is cast out. And so the whole tenor changes now in these last 3.5 years. And we see again the beginning of the unfolding. Chapter 13, there's a beast out of the sea. And again, whenever you see a sea, whether it's a crystal sea or here, this beast that comes out of the sea, a sea is representative of great masses of people. And so the crystal sea is a perfect sea. It's a great masses of saints that are in glory. But here again, the sea represents this beast that comes out of the sea. And so notice one more thing in verse 14. And the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time. Times is plural, two. And time, singular, one. And half a time is a 3.5 year marking period that, again, the woman is protected in the last 3.5 years. Notice it again that it said the days would be shortened. And so, again, we see some compilation of the days being shortened that we can put into this time frame as well. And it's been done by many scholars greater than I. And so I'll not touch it. But again, understand that it's marked out clearly that there's a 3.5 year beginning and a 3.5 year ending. And we are in a 7 year tribulation period that is yet to come. Are you going to be here for that tribulation period? The King is coming. And boy, again, you don't want to be left behind. When we're caught out of here again, then these seals begin to be opened. Not until then. God, again, doesn't do that until He has His 24 elders in heaven. And we be there as a great crystal sea with them. And so again, we're going to be caught up to heaven. We'll not be partakers in this horrible tribulation period. And that's a comfort to us, but again, it ought to be troubling to us again, the rebellion of this world. And some of us may have loved ones that are going to be here. If the Lord were to return right now, any of you know that's been playing Christian, or any again who's rejected Christ, they'll be here through this. And there's going to be a great deception and a great deceiver And even though they may have studied Bible prophecy, they may have pondered the 666 on the beast, they may have wondered about some of these things with an idle curiosity. Bible says that there's going to be a great deceiver that deceives them and they won't see it. So again, we need to be witnesses. And there is coming a tribulation period here on this earth. What an awful point to end on. So let me go ahead and mention that, hey, this is justly deserved. And the whole opening of the seals, the whole sounding of the trumpet, you see again that man's heart is rebelling against God all the more. We see it in our own country. I used to listen to NPR quite regularly. Anymore, it makes me sick to listen to it. All they talk about is evolution and how things evolved here and never a mention of God. We listen to NPR coming in. On a Sunday morning, you suppose on a radio station, NPR, they'd mention anything at all about God. Anything. Not an ounce. Not a word again. And so again, to understand that this world is going to be in rebellion against their Creator, and that rebellion is going to cause them to grit their teeth right to the very end and shake a fist at God Almighty as the wrath of God pours out here upon this earth. Look at global warming. Look at the storms in the Carolinas and understand that man says, we've caused this. No, God's caused that. And God wants our attention as a nation. I'm not going to call it a judgment of God. I'm going to call it a wake-up call from God. Amen. God wants our attention. Boy, again, we need to be His witnesses in these times and recognize that there is a God in heaven. He is your Creator, and He is worthy to be praised. Father, thank You and praise You. We can glimpse into the things that are to come. Thank You, Father, again, that You've shared them with us because we're Your friend. These are intimate things that's going to happen that You've shared with us. And we praise You and thank You that we could be called a friend of God. As we again understand these things with horror sometimes, I pray again that You'd sharpen our focus, sharpen our witness, help us all the more to realize that people need the Lord. Father, may we be about Your business in our lives. We'll praise You and thank You for Your touch on those here. Thank You for the salvation You've given us. Thank You for the peace that we can have as we pillow our head. And Lord, if there's any here that don't have that peace, I pray again that You'd trouble their very soul and cause again, Father, that You'd bring them to call upon You as Lord and Savior, their soul before it's eternally too late. And how we do praise You and thank You for those that have done that and have a quickening and a new eyes and a new life inside of them. That they could see these things, be excited about Your coming, and be excited about our role as Your witness. Bless now in the month of October. Bless now on this service. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and have an invitation song. And bulletin is I Surrender All. Let's go ahead and turn to 308. And as we'd sing that again, boy, we need to be surrendered. We are in these last days together. We see the manner, the demeanor of our own country being changed before us. And we need to have a new surrender. Even to be witnesses. And if you're here and you're unsaved, you need to surrender for salvation. 308, as we sing, God's tugged on your heart. You bring it to an altar. 308, let's stand. Close our service with this invitation song. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender.